You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel. Let's begin in chapter 17. I'm just going to allude to chapter 17, but we'll get to actually 1 Samuel 27 is our message today. I'm so thankful you're here. You know, I never take this huge crowd lightly. The balcony is filled, the lower floor is filled, the side balconies, the bleachers are filled, the other buildings are filled, but I count it a great honor to preach God's word to God's people today. And I pray that whatever your need is, he'll meet it. In 1 Samuel 17, we have the story of, there was a champion, and I preached on this recently, maybe not Sunday night, I'm not sure. The Philistines stood on one side of the mountain, verse number 3, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there went out a champion out of the Philistines named Gath. And he said in verse 9, if this man come to be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants. Send me a man. And David said in chapter number 17, verse 29, is there not a cause? There's a cause. There's a reason we've got to stand for God. And he fought against Goliath, and you know that. Goliath was a Philistine. Goliath was a what? A Philistine. Philistine or Philistine, whatever you want to say. But he was a Philistine. And here in chapter 17, God won a great army, a great victory with a shepherd boy and a military man. With a man who is 9'6" tall, with a little scrawny little youth, just a youth. A man that had war experience and had the country behind him, and a man that had a shepherd boy. He had no experience. But God, that day, a stone went around and around and flung it, and he landed right in the forehead of Goliath. And David went and took his sword off and cut his head off and took it to Saul and said, here's the man that we're so afraid of. And the Philistines ran. That is chapter 17. David fighting against the Philistines. Go 11 chapters ahead. 1 Samuel 27. We're in 17. Let's go to 1 Samuel 27. David, let's read verse 1 together. 1 Samuel 17, or 27, verse number 1. 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. And David said in his heart, here is David just 11 chapters later afraid of the Philistines. Wow. How does that happen? You know, in the Bible, there is the word spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T. When it's a capital S, it always refers to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us. He empowers us. He seals us. He guides us. He comforts us. He teaches us how to pray. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. I hope you are dependent daily on the Spirit of God. Every day of your life, pause at your desk every hour, say, Holy Spirit, fill me with your Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, then there's a small letter S, Spirit. That's your Spirit. That's my Spirit. David said, as he was running from Saul, he was hiding in a cave. In Psalm 142, verse number 1, he said, my spirit, small letter S, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. I wonder in this room today, bus teens, adults that are here, I wonder how often your spirit gets overwhelmed. I pastor a great church. It is the greatest church in all the world. Amen. Try that again. It's the greatest church in all the world. It is. It's the greatest church. Nothing like it. Every day I don't have to set an alarm. 5 o'clock in the morning or before, I wake up and I'm ready to go. I can go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, get up at 5 o'clock. I'm ready. I love getting out of every single day, 7 days a week. I love getting out of bed and getting showered and getting my Bible and prayer. And I love coming to work. I love it. I love what I'm doing. I hope you love what you're doing.
Amen.
But I tell you what, every day of my life, you don't pastor a church of this size. Every day of my life, my spirit's overwhelmed. Every day. We're about 32 days into the month, in the year. Every day there's been something. Every single day there's been something major. Every day. I don't tell the staff, I don't tell the deacons, I just, most of the time, I have to deal with it. Every day there's an issue. Every day there's a sorrow. Every day there's a disappointment. Every day there's a phone call that I wish I wouldn't have had that phone call last night. Every day there's a phone call. Every day there's a sorrow. So what I'm gonna do, my spirit is overwhelmed. I'm gonna guard my spirit. Because I want my spirit to be on the winning side. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that Pharaoh, his spirit was so troubled. And the Bible, Job says, he drinketh spirit, the drinketh up my spirit. I was so full of troubles. Numbers, I love Numbers in chapter number 14. Caleb said, the Bible said, Caleb had another spirit. It's a small letter S. With his small letter S spirit, he had another spirit. He had a spirit that it can be done, it must be done, it will be done. He had that type of spirit. He came around at age 85. He said, I want that mountain. And God gave him that mountain. And he said, I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago at age 45. And we sing it, I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey. He said, I want that mountain. He had another spirit. I want to put in your heart today from the word of God, another spirit. I don't care. I don't know what you're overwhelmed with. I don't know what's facing you today. I don't know if your wife, your husband's going to file papers for divorce this week. And it may happen. And it's wrong. I don't know if she's going to leave you for another man or he'll leave you for another woman. I don't know if you're going to find out that there's been pornography in his or her life. I don't know this week if you're going to lose your job. I don't know if you'll be deported. I don't know what's happening. But I know that I must guard my spirit. My spirit is so very, very important. There's Hannah, she was praying, oh dear God, give me a boy. And she had a sorrowful spirit, the Bible said. There's nothing wrong with a sorrowful spirit. Perhaps your spirit is sorrowful today. And it is perhaps it is sorrowful, but you're going to have to get victory over it. Elijah said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said that to Elijah. And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Why should not my spirit be troubled? Job 21:4. Job was talking to his friends. And he said, why should it not? Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter number 9, he had another spirit. But Paul said of himself that he sat in that city. He went to the city of Corinth and God stirred his spirit. My heart is so stirred for Santa Clara. My heart is so stirred for the Silicon Valley. My heart is so stirred for California today. I love California. I know it's the highest taxation in the world. I know we've got a terrible governor. I know all those things. But I love California. I was born in Milwaukee, but 24 months later, we came to California. And I've been here my whole entire life. I remember all this 50 years ago when my wife and I came. I remember all this was farms. There was no Montague Expressway. There was no 680. There was no 280. I remember President Ford, we were living on 680. And that day he opened up a highway 680, and the black SUVs came and the motorcycles came, and he came, and I'm sitting up on the top of a 16-foot fence. And I'm sitting there, and he looked out the window and he waved at me. He had to wave at me because there's nobody else around. It was just me. They opened up highway 680 that day. I tell you what a thrill that was. I love, but we had no 680. We had no 280. This is all farm country. My wife's from a farm. It was fairly easy to a certain degree for her to adapt, but it's not farm anymore, is it? These houses over here in this neighborhood by the Clyde Avenue property, those houses were $18,000 when I came here with my wife. And I said, I want to buy you a house, honey, but I can't afford $18,000. And we went a year, and we went two, and we went 10, and we went 15, and we went 17, and 18. I think in the 18th or 19th year, we bought a house. They said, you think the houses will ever get up to $50,000? I said, oh, no. And then they said, yeah, they think, I said, no, they won't get 100. Well, now look what they are, $1.7 million for those same houses. But I'm not going to let the price of houses govern my spirit. I'm not going to let Mr. Newsom govern my spirit. I'm not going to let the liberals govern my spirit. I'm not going to let CNN and NBC and ABC and all, I'm not going to let them govern my spirit. I'm not going to let some liberal politician govern my spirit. I am going to govern my own spirit. And here's David, and David fell into trouble because in chapter 17, he fought Goliath, a Philistine. But he says here, David said in his heart, I shall now perish by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. Let's look at that verse today. Bus teens, let's look at that verse together. Get a Bible open, will you? Adults, let's look at that verse today. You know, the program of discouragement, there's always a progression. The program of discouragement does not start in the soles of your feet. David said in his heart, we are going to have on the 14th of this month, Valentine's Day, and we talk about my sweetheart, and I'm going to give my heart to my wife or your girlfriend, whatever it might be. But we talk about our heart. We're not talking about this thing that pumps 4 ounces of blood every, say, come, let me give you my heart. Heart is not the organ. Heart is in the brain. The brain is made up of three parts. The brain weighs about 2 pounds. In some cases, a little less than 2 pounds. But about two, it could weigh 3 pounds. This is a 3-pounder right here. This is a pound and a half, this is a pound and a fourth. But about 2 to 3 pounds. It looks like, if you would take a walnut, Brother Carl, it looks just like a walnut, is what it looks like. That's your brain. In your brain, 1/3 of your brain is your heart. The heart is the emotional center of man. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. It's not talking about this pumping organ. It's talking about what's in your mind. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22. The heart is the real you. It's the you that you know that your wife doesn't know. It's the you that you know that your husband doesn't know. It's the real you. And no marriage is ever complete unless you give your heart to your wife or give your heart to your husband. Or as in Proverbs 23, my son, give me thine heart. Every student here, you're a young person, you're college age below or whatever the case, and you're living at your parents' house, your parent ought to have your heart. Not just your brain, not just your emotions, but your heart. The heart is the foundation of everything. And so the heart, it begins in the mind. Discouragement always begins in the mind. Discouragement begins in the mind. Discouragement begins in the mind. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. These things that are pure and lovely and virtuous and honorable and good report, think on these things. God wants you to think on good things, not negative things. And if you're not careful, and if I'm not careful, we allow to invade our mind all negativity. All negativity. The news is negative. And if we're not careful, we digest the news. Facebook is mostly negative. And if we digest Facebook, and life is basically negative, and the people we work with, they're all complaining about the job. Whatever the case, you're going to have to guard your mind. Keep your mind on the things of God. Think your mind, keep your mind on that which is lovely and good report. Think on these things. What are you putting in your mind? What have you put in your mind? Are we putting the Word of God every day in our mind? Are we putting the presence of God every day? I mean, we sing, and He walks with me. Have you walked with God? And He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there. You know, I'm not more spiritual than you. You're probably more spiritual than me. There's something about getting up in the morning and meeting God. It's been several years since I quoted it. My sister, who's home with the Lord, wrote me this in my Bible when I went to college. She said, Jack, remember this. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long His presence lingered, and all day long He sailed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were torn and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. The winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with the keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed the moorings with the secret left behind. I think I've learned the secret, learned by many a troubled way. You must meet Him in the morning to have Him through the day. I don't know what time you read your Bible. You might be one that 7 o'clock at night, and that's okay, just as long as you read it. But I tell you, there's something about that morning hour. There's something about walking with God in the morning. There's something about purifying your heart through the night hours and in the morning purifying your heart and walking with God and talking with God, sometimes to sing to Him and to get some scripture in your heart and get some Bible in your heart and get some music in your heart. There's something about praying for your wife every single day. That lady, I've not been a perfect husband, but I tell you what, every day and many times throughout the day, her name has come before the throne of grace because she has a heavy responsibility. Being married to me, that must be very difficult, seriously. It must be very difficult. It must be very difficult for 50 years to be a pastor's wife. It must be very difficult for 52 years to be in the ministry. And somehow she's allowed me to stay. I need to pray for her. I need to pray for her strength and her wisdom and her health. I need to pray for her mind that stays alert. That lady means the world to me. Are you praying for your wife? Are you praying for your husband? Because the devil's out to get him too. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom may devour. He wants to devour your husband. He wants to devour these kids up here. He wants to eat them up alive. He wants to destroy their lives. It always begins in the mind. Secondly, it always comes out the mouth. We say, why did I say that? I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I said that, honey. It's already been in your mind. That's what the Bible says. Look at verse number 1. And David said in his heart, Here's what he said. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. First of all, he didn't know that. I shall now perish. Do not, please mark this down. Do not verbalize negativity. Don't verbalize it. I don't know what's going to happen in America. I don't know what's going to happen with these tariffs. Well, neither do I. They're going to work or they're not going to work. I don't know what's going to happen with our government. I don't know what's going to happen in our area. I don't know what's going to happen with our church. I don't know either. But you always face your battle, but you don't talk about negativity. David said in his heart, and here's what he said, what's in the mind comes out. We cannot help speak the things we have seen and heard. When it's up here, it's going to come out here. And I'll say to my wife, I'll tell you what, woman, I don't understand you. I don't understand. And an hour later, I said, I'm sorry I said that. No. And I don't say that. It's because I had it in my heart. It was already buried there. I refuse to let a negative thought about my wife enter my mind. I refuse. I promise you right now, there's not a negative thought that comes across my mind about that lady. Not a negative thought at all. Well, she's too this, she's too that, she does this, she does that. She can do whatever she wants. She's my wife. Well, I don't love my husband anymore. Well, you're going to have to get over that and learn to love them again. You fell in love with them. So learn to love them. Do not verbalize negative thoughts. Yeah, but what's happening in America? I don't know what's happening. But he is still on the throne. God is in charge. It starts in the mind. I said in my heart. It comes out the mouth. I shall speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. Notice number three, it always leads to an action. There's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines and to Saul. David said, I'm going to speedily escape. I'm going to take matters in my own. Oh, dangerous. You're taking matters in your own hands now. I'm going to deal with this. No, don't deal with this situation. Deal with your mind. Well, I'll tell you what, I've had it up to here with this man. I've had it up to here with this thing. No, that's not what to say. What to say is, I know that God is with me. And I know that God will take care of me. You know, it's an amazing thing, honey, about life, and I'm sorry to refer to you so much. And I don't want you to think that I'm Mr. Strong Christianity. But I have more faith than I've ever had in my life. And with that great faith, yes, comes fear, but I don't have a lot of fear these days. But with that great faith comes a lot of obstacles. And the more faith I have, the more obstacles I find. But I just believe that God is in control of everything. Of everything. God is in control. But I invested in this person, I invested in this life, I invested in a son, I invested in a daughter, I invested in my marriage, I invested all this, and it all fell apart. Well, just keep investing. God has an answer for you. You can always count on God. And one of these days, I hope not in a short time, but one of these days, my journey on this planet Earth is going to be over. I've already outlived what God said I'm supposed to live. So one of the days, my journey is going to be over. I don't want the last days of my life to be the worst days. I want them to be the best days. Don't ask me if I'm coming to church. I'll be in church. I want every service imaginable. I want to be in church on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I want to be in church. I want to sing the praises. I want to tithe. I put my tithe in this morning. I was so grateful to put that tithe in. I want to do that. That's part of worship.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I want to do that. I'm running out of time. I don't know how much more time, how many more Sundays I have to put a tithe in the tithe, in the offering plate. I don't know how many more Sundays I get to go to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and neither do you. You see, it always begins in the mind, in the heart, comes out the lips, and it leads to an action. And by the way, I'm done. It always affects other people. Look at the next verse. And David arose, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him. David, in these next three chapters, are going to have these 600 men. And they're going to get to chapter number 29, and Ziklag is going to be attacked. And they're going to have the mothers, their wives, and their children, these men's children. And the enemy is going to come and take them all into their own camp. It's the first instance that David, in chapter 30 or 29 or 30, you'll find it today if you look at it. David inquired of the Lord. There's no inquiring of the Lord here. But David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue? And God answered with one word, pursue. And the Bible says he recovered all, A-L-L, every wife, every child, he recovered all, and the city was burned with fire. But prior to that, he had 600 men outside the will of God. It's my job to live inside the will of God so that I could get you to live inside the will of God. Now, the sad thing is, here I am, and here's a lot of our godly deacons and godly people. They're way up here. They're above me spiritually. And I look to them, and they're such godly people. But at least I'm here and not down here. And today, it's your job to become spiritual before God. Watch what you think. Don't let any negative, and when those negative things, thoughts come in your mind throughout the day, confess it as sin to God. Lord, I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have had that in my mind. Because God cannot honor what we put in our mind. And then it comes out of our lips. And then it comes, leads to an action. And then we have other people. And we destroy other people. We're out of time this morning. But when you read in the Bible the small letter S, that's your spirit. David came to the point where his spirit was overwhelmed. Turn with me in closing to the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi, please. The very last book before Matthew, Malachi, we're done. You've listened so well today. Malachi. And in Malachi chapter number 2, right at the close, and God's going to be silent now for 400 years. But notice what he says in verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. And did not he make one? Yet he, the reside of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your what? Look at chapter number 2, verse 16. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. God hates divorce. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. My challenge today is to take control of your spirit. If you have high blood pressure, you probably, perhaps, the doctor wants you on blood pressure medicine. You better take it. Perhaps if you're diabetic, you need to take a needle and give yourself a boost with that medicine. I don't know. And today, you're going to have to take heed to your spirit. Keep it positive. Don't speak about anything negative. Keep it positive. Guard your mind, guard your lips, guard your actions, and guard what other people do as a result of your decision.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.